is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next up, it's time for The Call Within with Meredith. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and her guest today.
And welcome to News for the Soul Radio. This is Meredith McDonough with The Call Within. And today I have special guest Helena Woods, astrocartographer. And I just wanted to introduce her. So Helena is hustled out of New York City for 5 years before deciding to live a simpler life where she prioritizes her own values and intuition. She began living around the world, and in 2018, she settled in France and began learning about astrocartography. She now uses her gifts by sharing her reflections and insights on relocation astrology and slow intuitive living. She creates to connect. Life moves fast, and she wanted to slow it down for a little while and allow time to stand still so she could remember what true connection feels like, both with yourself and with life. I love that on your website. I love it. So thank you so much for being here, Helena. And of course, for those who are listening, I absolutely had an astrocartography reading with her. It was something that mystified me because I was like, I want to move here. And I had heard about it. But finding one was a search. We just talked about that. So welcome. I'll shut up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm excited to chat and talk. And yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
So yeah. Cool. So I guess is... Yeah, let's talk about that journey out of New York City. I'm really curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so as a kid, I grew up as a performer in the theater, grew up singing and dancing, and my dream was always to be on Broadway. And as a little kid, I wanted to go to New York and move to New York and make it big. That was kind of always like my big dream growing up. And I moved to New York, and I went to school for a year, dropped out, and worked at an off-Broadway theater, got really into the whole Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway scene, and started, you know, going to classes, dance, acting, ushering at shows, and I would go to auditions and get callbacks and things like that. And I worked really hard and worked really fast, and I was always chasing something outside of me, chasing success, chasing achievement, chasing visibility, because it was something that as a kid I was kind of taught, you know, even on a subconscious level, you know, people always telling you as a kid, like, you should do this, you're so talented at this, you should make this your career. So often people told me that as a kid that I just did it because that's what I was seen as.
Yeah.
And I never had the idea that just because you're good at something doesn't mean you have to make it your job or your career or your life's work. Sometimes you can just be good at something and have it be fun. Yeah. And that was something I didn't realize until I grew older and I moved to New York and I experienced it. And living in New York, it's the energy is super fast, you know, obviously being in New York, but being in the entertainment industry where you're always auditioning and you're always hustling and you're always, you know, waitressing or babysitting, trying to make ends meet and hoping to get a show. And that kind of lifestyle was so fast and it was so hard and it was so intense. And I realized, you know, my dad suddenly passed, and in that moment when he passed, I kind of realized I can either keep going with this industry and trying to chase the next thing and be seen and all of this, or I can just stop and ask myself, what is really fun for me? You know, what is the most fun, joyful way I can connect with creativity? Which at the end of the day, that's all I wanted to do was be creative. And in some way create things, you know, stories, storytelling. And so when he passed, you know, a lot of things shifted where I realized I didn't want to be in New York. I wanted to be a photographer. And I bought a camera that day. Like, I just knew because I had been doing, you know, photography for fun, like on Instagram or blogging, writing on my blog, all of that. And it was then that I realized I wanted to do follow my heart. And so I started doing photography. The photography led to YouTube and led to making films and just continuing to create content and blog and share my heart. That is kind of what I realized in terms of my values. And death is a really profound thing because when there's a death in your life, it can really shake you up and make you realize, what do you value? What matters to you in life? And what do you need to do in order to feel fulfilled and feel intrinsically happy with your life choices? And so, you know, picking up a camera was the first big way that I got out of that after a whole lifetime of chasing performing and doing this and having this identity around being a performer. When I picked up a camera, it was like everything shifted. And then I left New York City, and then I moved to a small town, and I started learning about slow living and how to get back to my roots and like, who am I, and simplifying my life and slowing things down. And then my husband got a job. He's my boyfriend at the time. But my husband got a job in France, and so we moved to France. And then I'm living in France these last 5 years. It's just been so different. The pace of life, the rhythm of life is so much slower here. And like meeting a lot of French people and understanding their values and what's important to them, and also like business owners and all of this entrepreneurial world here in France, it's so different. They're not chasing metrics or shiny pennies or whether or not something is successful or seen in a huge way, but rather, are they making enough money to be comfortable? And are they happy doing their work? Do they have the time to go on vacation with their family?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, like that's like the core thing. It's like, do I have time with my family? Do I have vacation time? Yes. Do I make enough money to pay my rent and live comfortably? Yes. Then we're good. We don't need to have more than what we want. And I think that's the thing that I lost track of in early in my journey, is being told that you have to dream bigger. You have to want more than what you think you want. And so now I'm here in France and I'm doing whatever feels fun, whether that's, you know, doing astrocartography and locational astrology, or creating videos that inspire my heart in that moment, or working with people one-on-one. I'm doing what feels fun and what feels good, and flowing with that and allowing the intuition to guide me to the next step, and not putting pressure on myself to, you know, have certain metrics or certain outcomes from those things. So yeah. That's basically been my life in a whole nutshell.
Yeah, no, I love it. And this is going to have a random, side tangent, but out of curiosity, when you detached and went back to your values and went back to your guiding inner force, your intuition, did you find that financial prosperity followed as a spiritual entrepreneur? Was that more in flow?
The spirituality component definitely grew.
Yeah.
Once I started learning about values, like value setting, I read a book called The Desire Map, which was really huge for me. There's a whole workbook on like discovering your core desired feelings, which is like, what do you want to feel instead of chasing an outcome or a goal? How do you want to feel? Mm-hmm. And in the feelings, you know, I started learning about other things like I went to Bali for a trip by myself during that time when I started learning about living slow, and I started doing meditation every day, and I started learning about the Akashic records. I started opening the records, and now, you know, I have like this intuitive like relationship with the records, and like the psychic abilities really turned on when I started to eliminate the distractions and slow down enough to listen to myself.
Yeah. And I, as someone who, like we were talking earlier, who used to wake up like a bat out of hell, like, similarly, I still do sometimes, but when I was a teacher, for example, back in my old life, when I was a teaching assistant, you know, every morning it was like a rush out the door.
Yeah.
Rush out the door. And it took a lot just to sit for, I used to call it 5 minutes of stillness. I was like, I don't even want to meditate. I just want to have like no noise.
Yeah.
For like 5 minutes, before I step into the void of noise of small children. And I love them. They were great. But it's interesting how it's very easy to get caught on the wheel. And I think especially for young professionals and coming out of college in their 20s and 30s, and even people into their 40s. And now we're seeing people, you know, leaving because of the great resignation. They're just like, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning as I was sitting on the couch drinking coffee. And I was like, I'm just really chill. And like, just, you know, make my way over here to the laptop, get settled, instead of being like, oh, that's usually
sometimes how
it goes on a busy morning. And, you know, I've got like laundry behind me. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wear my background. Like, here we go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like so many people also too are afraid to, my guides are kind of showing it to me as like a pool, and people very much want to let go of the ledge, you know, the grind but they're afraid to let go of the grind because they're like, but what if I drown? If I don't grind, I will drown. And I used to have, I work through this, you know, still now on a mental mindset level is, you know, if I don't do something, I'll sink. I gotta sink or swim. It's either one or the other. And then finally someone was like, you know, you could just float. I was like, what? Do you know who you're talking to? I'm a type A overachiever. Covering perfectionist. There's no such thing as that. I wanted to pop back to how we met, which was through astrocartography. We can talk a little bit about that. So for those who are listening, I found Helena because I was in a place of wanting to relocate. And that's actually a big question that I get in my intuitive reading is I'll have clients come and they're like, you know, I'm thinking about moving to California or thinking about going over here. I'm thinking about going over there. And energetically, I can sense like, you know, what areas would be optimal and, you know, kind of like, hey, like, you know, these are the pros and cons of this area for you. These are what my intuitive perceptions are saying. And so I'll give an example. For years, people used to tell me, we just see you living in Hawaii. And I'm like, okay, I'm not Hawaiian, number one. But I was like, whenever I get there, you know, I'm crawling, like after 10 days, I'm like, get me out of here. I mean, Hawaii is beautiful. But unless you surf on the regular, it isn't what you do. Beautiful. So we did our reading together and you were like, yeah, Meredith, it's a great place for you to reset. But not, again, it's not an ideal place for your business or for, it was a very validating. That's what I love about astrocartography is it kind of validates the intuition. But anyway. Tell us more about astrocartography, how you got into it.
Yeah. So astrocartography is the astrology of place and relocation and seeing how the different energies in the world kind of bring to light the different aspects of consciousness that we have within us. It's kind of this idea that we exist everywhere at once and we have connections with every part of the world. And so when we move to certain parts of the world, we can activate certain things like there's relocated charts, which is seeing how different areas of life get activated or turned on. And, you know, if you wanted to somehow like do some more promotional work or be seen in a career way, visibility, we'd want to see some planets on the MC, which is the midheaven and where you're most visible. If we want to see, you know, a place where you're more focusing on relationships, we'd want to go to a descendant line where you're going to be more likely to meet really important people in your life. And so when you live in different parts of the world, you're kind of like activating certain parts of you. Certain things are coming, being brought to light. And so, it's fascinating, you know, like I grew up, you know, on the moon MC line in California, which is like performer related, and Leo Moon is very performer actor related. Moved to New York, moved to a descendant line, met my husband on a very important relationship line. He is Mercury. He's the embodiment of Mercury, which I just found to be so cool. And then I moved to France where I'm on my Venus IC and my Mercury IC. And it's all about, you know, home and connection with the land and loving the place and feeling at home here. But it's also the simple joys and slow living. That's the Venus energy. Venusian energy is very slow and, you know, appreciating beautiful things, having gratitude for the small things in life, nature. It's very Venusian. And so, you know, being on these lines, it's like those things activated within me when I moved here. And so anyone can look at their chart and see, you know, what parts of the world are they most visible? Are their relationship themes coming in? Their home lines are coming in? And also their sense of self being activated. So it's really cool. And you can use it and kind of plan your trips and your travels and also moving.
Yes, I love that. When we did my chart, I remember being so curious because I was going to New Zealand. It was interesting because I found you at a time where it was like, I'm going to all these really very vastly different places. But I was going to New Zealand and then going a couple months later to Egypt and doing sort of some soul searching, spiritual searching there. And I remember you say with Egypt, it's fun and it's exploration. I was like, yeah, it really was. It was just, you know, every day I was, you know, going in and out of tombs and pyramids. And it was cool. It was just like, wow, you know, other things are activated there as well on a soul level. And New Zealand, you know, very similar. I was like, that's right. You know, this is, Because when you said to me as well about Hawaii, and this resonates because I actually was thinking of moving to Hawaii, but I was like, man, I gotta like move there. And then I got to make friends. And then it's a lot of work to move there, you know, because it's an island surrounded by water and it's not exactly cheap, you know, to import everything. and you know, your cats got, you know, pets got to go through a quarantine period. And it's like this,
oh,
this,
yeah.
It's
like a 2 month thing, isn't it?
It's a thing. It is a very big thing. And when my mother moved there, it literally just took over her life. And I was like, well, how am I going to, you know, manage a, you know, my own work and then, you know, business and this, and then, you know, try to transition. And when you said, no, she's like, you said, it's a good place just to rest, but you know, come back. And I was like, the curiosity that's just popped into my mind was, do the vortexes, like, you know, Sedona and Haleakala Crater, do the vortexes have any influence? Does that pop up at all in astrocartography?
It doesn't. But I actually learned about Earth vortices before I learned about astrocartography, and that always really resonated with me. So I think that's a separate thing, but I definitely, you know, massive energy in those spots in the world.
Yes, yes. People always say, your life will change. And I'm like, yeah, it changes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I know. I've been wanting to do more trips to those spots. So cool. Yeah.
Big shift. So let's talk more about like your intuition and intuitive living. I think so many people, I guess we'll call it, you know, it's now, I guess they were terming it the soft girl life. So many people desire it. And I know I'm someone as well who like, desires it, but to stay in it.
Yeah.
Without the distractions. It's like, how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, you're always centered. Like your soul, your inner voice, who you are on a deep level is always in communication with your intuition. It's part of you. And the issue is we get so distracted by outside noise of what we should do or what we should want in our lives, that the noise overpowers the inner voice.
Yeah.
So I grew up as a kid writing to my intuition. I grew up a journaler. So when I was like 7 years old, I got my first journal and I would just write on the street on the little corner and I would just write down, you know, observations of what I saw. I just journal, you know, and as like, you know, I have like over 70 journals at this point and from over the years. And as a teenager, you know, going through a hard time, I would write to my inner voice. I would call it God, you know, I'd say, dear God, and I would ask questions and I would receive answers back. And I always felt such like protection and peace and faith from something like higher always. And like, even if I was having a hard time or just being the very ambitious overachiever little kid that I was, I always could come back to my journal and receive this peaceful wisdom that would write back to me. Like that was always channeled and through. And so as I got older, I started realizing that those feelings are felt in the body and they're not felt in the mind. And so as I got older, like in college, you know, I would have a crush on a guy and I would ask my friend, don't ask your mind. I don't want to hear what your mind has to say. Ask your gut. What does your gut say? What does your heart say about this? I would like ask questions about like things I was like worried about or like scared about at that point, which is, you know, dating, you know, or guys.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, what do you think this meant? You know? And so I would ask my friends and as there became a point where like my friends were like, stop asking me if what my gut says, you know, I know what you mean. But it's like, I kind of got from the journaling into the mind and realizing how the mind is constantly overthinking and analyzing and worried and fearful and always thinking about the worst case scenario and the risks, I realized that that was not the inner voice because the energies were completely different. And so I started noticing that the inner voice communicates with you through the gut or through the heart, one of those two spots, or just in the body. It just feels peaceful in the body. And I just developed that practice over time of realizing the two voices. And then I started learning about, you know, Eckhart Tolle and his book, Power of Now. And then as I got into adulthood, I read, you know, Untethered Soul, which is a great book. But all of these books kind of confirm there are two voices. There are two energies within us. And at any point, we can label it and label that mind and say, thank you, but you know, I'm going to listen to my inner voice right now. You know, at any point we can choose to go within, but it's just a matter of breathing, like breath work, and then connecting with the body and then just finding that stillness to listen. And that's the thing that's so hard is the distractions will come in and try to carry you away. But just going back to the breath is really key.
And it's interesting, and I hear everything you're saying, and it all resonates, because even in the way I was taught and mentored for intuition development, even in my 7-step guide for intuitive awareness, and people are like, it's not just 7 steps. And I'm like, you don't understand. This is just a method.
Yes.
To happen. It's just to listen to your own, no pun intended, the call within yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, breathing is a part of it. Feeling is a part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember also doing, I had another mentor who was like, you know, Meredith, you just need to like journal and get your own messages for yourself first and then go give your readings. I was like, oh, whoops. Okay. But it's interesting. People oftentimes, I think when they think of intuition, this is one thought that seed that popped in is they kind of want it to like drop down from the sky, like just this answer that will just drop in like right in your hand. And sometimes it's not an answer out there. It is an answer within. And the journaling, if it can, you know, coaching can do that, but also just like you said, the journaling, recognizing those two voices, how to discern between, and this is a big one I hear from clients, is how do I know this is my head or my fear? How do I know it's my intuition? I'm like, well, intuition's like a muscle. The more that you go to the gym and you lift it, whether it's giving readings, whether it's journaling, whether it's pulling oracle cards, connecting with nature, however you want to do it.
Yeah.
It will only though, like, you know, it will only get stronger if you keep using it.
Yeah.
And I'd say too, is like when you turn on this switch, I'm sure you can relate to this. It's like, I was telling somebody once, I was like, it's not like a switch I can turn off and on. I used to carry that mindset back for 5 years ago when I was still in the classroom, because I had to, you know, I don't want to feel all my student stuff all the time. But I realize now it'd be damn near impossible. It'd be like operating without my left hand, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so a big, yeah.
Go ahead.
I've noticed a big difference between like the mind, because that's a question that will come up a lot. You know, it's like, how do I differentiate between the two? The inner voice or the intuition feels peaceful. So like sometimes you'll get an idea, and if it feels really manic, like, oh, I need to do this right now, that can often be the mind, and it can seem like the intuition. But when it's coming from like manic pressure of like time scarcity,
that's
the mind. When it comes from a place of, oh, yes, this is it. This is it. Mm-hmm. And there's like kind of that claircognizance of knowing, of like not doubting, like there's just this peace. It just feels like water. It feels like a well. It feels like you're like a well of wisdom. It just feels, you know, like time is not important at all. And it just, it feels peaceful. That's like the biggest way to differentiate between the two, is kind of know what is the energy behind that thought that just came in.
Yes. Yes. And I see this commonly, we're talking about dating and breakups, like, you know, people who get fearful of like breaking up, like, oh my God, I'm going to break up, and they go into the head. It's like, but what does your body say? Does it feel better to be on your own? If it feels more peaceful. And again, that it's sometimes that can be that battle, which again, we shift out of the battle, the more that we, you know, we plug in and tune in. And that's one thing I notice with my own clients is the distractions. Like, you know, the kids come running in, or the kids are sick, or, you know, the cat puked on the carpet, or there's something to sort of take them, pull them away. And I'm like, you know, sometimes universe is like, you have to, not have to, but it sometimes it's just for me, it's just 5 minutes in my car in the morning.
Yes.
I was like,
exactly.
Those 5 minutes were so sacred. I was like, I'm going to roll my windows up and just sit here in silence. Like,
exactly.
Savor all 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Some things I love to do, I love to take a few deep breaths before like I leave the car or leave like the door, the front door, is I'll just take a moment to like breathe and then leave. Or, you know, even just as simple as like leaving 5 minutes earlier, just to make sure like you're not rushing, and you're just, you can note, you know, the wind, the light as it hits the windshield, you know, you can kind of like slow down and take your time and not feel the pressure to get there on time. Cause that's something that I struggle with. It's like, I always need to get right on time. And if I'm even a minute late, I'm like hard on myself, or I feel pressure. And so, just that, like that ability to like, just like go 5 minutes earlier. And then, and just like, just the breath, right? Just like connecting with the breath in those small moments. Like, I light a candle before I go to sleep at night. I turn off all lights and everything. I just light a candle and I watch the candle flame for a few minutes before I go to sleep. And it just really recenters me and like reminds me like, yep, we're slowing down, you know? So yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm sure you can relate to this. I mean, I grew up in the DC metro area, and it is kind of just running you know, yeah. everyone's kind of running around. And I'm not saying that the people are rats. I mean, they're wonderful people. But
yeah,
I just, you know, as an empath and intuitive, it was just like, I mean, I burned out not once, but twice. Because I was just, mm-hmm. You know, to sustain, do the work, but also be a sensitive person and run a spiritual business and, you know, work a full-time job. It was just going. And, you know, when COVID came, as I know, as challenging and as hard COVID was physically, mentally, you know, for many people, for myself, at least, I was very privileged in that way. I will not deny that. I was very privileged to be able to, it was a godsend. I remember thinking to myself, like, I was at school, I was, you know, at my old job at Montessori and doing my thing. Mm. And they were, you know, cured COVID on the TV. And my guides were like, you're going to be okay. You're not going to get sick. Like, your students are going to be okay. Don't worry about that. And I was like, you know, I would really love if I could just stay at home and work and be paid to stay at home. And just, I can also work on my business. And then 2 weeks later, it was like, hey, we're closing school for 2 weeks. And now we're closed for the rest of the year. And mind you, it's kind of like, whoa, what's going on? But it really kind of, it said, Meredith, this is exactly what you wanted. You wanted to stay home and be safe to stay home to work on your work and work on your business. I was like, yeah, it's kind of weird. I kind of did. And I love the candle flame for sure. Cause I think so oftentimes at least I noticed in the wellness community, when we talk about connecting with intuition, it's oftentimes with, you know, more complex tools or, it has to be a more, I think people overcomplicate it. And the thing as simple as just connecting with a candle.
Yeah.
Walking outside, taking a few deep breaths it's like stupid simple, like keeping it stupid simple is what
I know.
It used to be.
And I think slow living is also like needing to cut out the stuff that's distracting you and unessential. And that means saying no to more things. Like more boundaries, that's a big part of slow living, I think, because when we have more on our plate, we're more scattered, we're more distracted, we feel more stressed. When it's like we've got like, you know, a few options or a few things that we're focusing on, the less the better, because it's like we can give it our full attention, we can really be present with the project, allow that space for creativity and spontaneity and new ideas to kind of flow through. But when we don't have that empty space in the mind, it's like crammed, you know, there's none of that magic of like ideas floating in or, I mean, I always like to think of, the book Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
It was channeled through to, J.K. Rowling when she was doing nothing. She was on a late train looking out the window. She had like a 3 or 4 hour train delay. And all of a sudden she was looking at her window bored. She didn't bring any Game Boy or, you know, the Switch or like she didn't have a phone at that point. I have a Game Boy. I love playing my Game Boy. So that's why I'm bringing up Game Boy in 2023. But, you know, she didn't have a smartphone. She didn't have any of these things distracting her. It was literally like, she was bored and the idea came into her mind. And it's like, that's the magic of life. It's like when we have that space within our minds, when we like don't have as many distractions and things vying for our attention, that like those opportunities for creative magic and blessings can kind of flow through to us.
Yeah.
And it could be as simple as like what you want to eat for lunch that day or like what you want to do when you get home or as big as like an idea for a book. It doesn't have to be as big of an idea, but you know, that space is so needed. And because we live in a time right now where we're constantly listening to things or consuming content or just trying to do more all the time, especially with, you know, in TikTok has just made it like mania. Like so many, I think people are just like, they have like a sense of manic, you know, in their minds because of TikTok. And it's like, when we have those boundaries of cutting out the things that aren't helping us and are actually distracting us, it's like, that's when we can really get that, like that peaceful feeling and slow down.
Yes. Yes. And I sense it in, I see it too, with people, again, California going from, to connect with what you're saying, is going from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yeah.
I lived in California now for 2 years and it was an adjustment. Mm-hmm. My sister was like, it's going to take you a year to fully like integrate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would show up everywhere like 15 minutes early. And she's like, you don't have to show up everywhere 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Show up 15 minutes early. Everyone's going to look at you like you're crazy. And I would try to be late. I was like, try to walk slowly to my car. But for the first year, I was in deprogramming mode, you know, and talked to one of my friends and he was like, you just seem a lot less stressed living in California. I was like, stress. It's just not the same as it was, you know, being in the DC metro area. And that chasing feeling. And I see it with, you know, and oftentimes I feel like it's really intense. Again, I think I feel for people our age, am I doing enough?
Yeah.
You know, am I certified enough? I used to get here, am I intuitive enough? Am I qualified enough? And I've been doing part of a mindset cohort, like a mastermind. And one of the women inside the group, the leader of the group, was like, you know, if it's your business, you're allowed to write the rules. And the rules can be whatever you want them to be. And I was like, really? She's like,
yeah.
You're allowed to break the rules. I was like,
amazing.
Okay, is it safe?
Yeah. Okay. I know. Okay. I know. But isn't that so freeing, though?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, when you take your power back, oh, my gosh, it's so freeing. Like, it's a life of freedom. It really is. And you get to design your lifestyle, your business, what you want to do, how you want to work. Like, it's like you can design it all.
Yes. And I noticed this, too, with, like, you know, we're in Age of Aquarius, but in terms of, like, the housing, you know, our generation's like, having a house would be nice. But I see more and more of my generation being like, well, what about van life?
Yeah.
You know, what about living off the grid? What about not tying our ball and chaining into that, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 a month mortgage, you know,
that's
what we're hustling for. And, you know, just my parents are boomers. So they're like, but don't you want a house? You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'll just like raise my kids in a chicken farm. I'm like, figure that part out yet. Like, people do it. It's figureoutable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. And I love that you're kind of like broken from the mold. It's like breaking free.
Yeah. Oh, I know. When, you know, we moved to France in 2018 and we thought we would just be there 2 years. And then we ended up just getting another contract and staying. And we move every year or two. We move to a new place. And it's like every time we move, we have to get rid of some stuff and we have to like everything has to fit in our car. And, you know, my husband and I, we have no interest in having a mortgage or like being that tied down feeling of like the pressure to like to be stuck with something for 20 years. Like that idea is just not appealing to us at all, even though it's a financial investment. It's a good financial investment, but it's just like, and that goes back to your values. Like, what do you value? Like what is important to you? Because what society values might not mean the value that you have. And for me, like freedom is number one, like being free to just pick up and go anytime, any place, any, you know, that's my business is around that. My lifestyle is around that. Everything I choose is around that. And so like, yeah, just like what society will say is like, get a job, get a degree, you know, get a, you know, all these things to have security. And it's like for some people like just don't need that, you know, to feel good. And so that goes back to the values, right?
Yes. And I think that's what we're talking about, that is the values piece is values change. I think that's a big thing that people, like, I think number one is most of us, I'll say this, when we're 18, we become adults. We become adults, at least in the United States and in some places earlier. And then 21, you can finally drink, you know, you can drink, but you know, whatever. But so where I'm getting at with this is I feel like we have values. But it's, I think adulthood now keeps the learning process. I feel like, we like financially become independent as adults, but the values, I call it kind of a values shakeout of like, shaking out your programming from the way that you grew up, what your parents wanted or whoever raised you. So my parents were very similar. Like you work, you know, for them, it was like work the same job, 25, 30 years, the federal government, then you retire and then you can go do all the shit that you want to do.
Yes.
I remember when I was looking for, when I graduated at college and looking for a job and my mom was like, you're just lazy. You don't want to work. Cause I was just working in like seasonal gig work. And I was talking about this with a girlfriend of mine. And I was like, look, I was like, cause her and her brother are 10 years apart. I was like, look, like our generation is just different. I was like, you guys are telling the tale, you know, closer to the boomers. I was like, you know, loyalty, I think be rewarded. But I feel like if it's inhibiting your growth as a person, whether internally or externally, it's no longer beneficial. What is it really serving you for?
Yeah.
And there's just over glorification of longevity. So I feel like with, again, Age of Aquarius, it's like, you know, we're all about, you know, Uranus ruled abrupt changes. It's like, well, sometimes longevity isn't always best. Longer doesn't always mean better. You know, so yeah, I always go, this is my random tangent on that. But
oh yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I know. And Pluto just entered Aquarius. I mean, this is, you know, a phase of life we're going to be in for the next 30 years, especially when we go into Uranus entering Gemini. That's going to be massive for the United States and for the world. And I think just there's, yeah, a lot of changes. And like, you know, Aquarius is about the humanitarian rights, technology, helping others. Like, how can we have a more global mindset and a global perspective? That's all what Aquarius is. And so now that we're in that, you know, this is kind of that time of like, that's where the generation is and with the mass, you know, what we're all kind of going toward. But yeah, really interesting, really interesting.
Yes. And I think the old energy of people coming in to connect with that is, I think the old energy was like everyone, old paradigm energy was like everyone is like individuated for themselves. And not to say that in America, we're still not individualistic. We also have our own unique energetic signature and our own brand, our own flavor. But there has been a uptick in collaboration and community where people are like, well, if I'm rising, you're coming with me. It's not this, well, I'm the crab coming out of the barrel and like, I'm going to kick you down like Lion King. You're going to fall to your death.
Yeah.
We don't need to do that anymore. It's like, hey, we can help each other up. And the rise, you know, this almost like when people are trying to maintain that low vibrational me, you know, identity, it's like, it's not going to hold anymore. It really is all about expansion. You know, it's the expansion and sharing, like, I look at it as my guides are kind of showing it to me as like someone once was like, well, this is News for the Soul platform. Like, shouldn't this be your show? And like, why do you have guests on? And I'm like, because part of my role, my soul purpose here is to like hold the door open for other healers to be, to like not walk through them, but open the door of opportunity to share the voice.
To
cultivate that. So,
And that Pluto and Leo, you know, is boomers, was the boomer generation. So Pluto signifies a generation, like, you know, Gen Z is Pluto and Sag. Pluto and Scorpio generation is the millennials, you know. So we can kind of see like the generation, and, you know, Leo is about the self, about I, about me. You know, the opposite of it is Aquarius, which is about we and like rising, everyone rising together. Yeah, so very cool. I wonder, what is your north node in?
I'm a north node in Pisces, south node.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah. Pisces is all about the transcendence and the interconnection and all of that. So beautiful. Very selfless. Yeah.
My Venus is also in Pisces, so that's
lovely. Oh, Venus works so well in Pisces. One of the best placements for a Venus.
Well, that's what I keep telling myself. I have my Mars is in Sag, so there's a little bit of push-pull.
Yeah, the visionary, though, taking action from a place of vision. Yeah.
Yes. And you know, I remember when I first started, you know, in this work, I didn't really have, like, when I first, like, became intuitive, it was never like, oh, I'm an intuitive reader. I'm at tons of money. It was like, okay, I think this is something I'm supposed to do. And I'm, you know, again, you know, Virgo, South Node's like, okay, do you have a plan? Do you have a structure? Do you have an Excel spreadsheet? No.
Yeah.
Do you have a fancy website? No. A lot of growth surrendering into that. Sometimes voluntary surrender, sometimes dragged into surrender against my will. So it's and I think this is where I think people, you know, I think the astrology is more on the rise and people want to have a better understanding. Because I oftentimes am meeting with the younger generation who are, you know, with millennials mostly is, you know, I had someone here doing work at my house and, you know, they were talking about how they got a college degree and they're having struggle finding a job. And I said, look, remember being just where you were and like, am I going to be living at home forever? Am I going to be doing gig work forever? You know, am I going to make $7.50 an hour forever as a bridal retail sales associate? Like, is this the rest of life? You know, it was very much like a vacuum. And I was like, no, I was like, you're not. I was like, guarantee that you're not. I was like, but the world is going to shift and change in a way. And I was like, you're part of that change. And they were like, really? And I was like, you're part of the change. It's going to be scary because it's going to be counter to every single way that you've been programmed, but you'll be part of it. And there was like, like a glimmer of hope, like a little booster. I'm like, okay.
And that's part of our natal promise, you know, like, it's our path is so much bigger than we can see. It's not always just about us, but it's like our generation as a collective, like us working together at this point in history for the next generation. Like, there's so much we can't see. And that's the magic of like you know, living with your intuition and astrocartography and astrology is like, you know, when you listen to yourself and you're honoring, you know, what excites you or what lifts you up or what makes you excited to create and work that day and show up for others that day. It's when you listen to that inner voice, it's like, it's part, it shows the natal promise. It shows the chart. Like the chart is a reflection. The transits are a reflection. The places you go to that you feel called to go to, they're a reflection of your natal promise and what your inner voice is guiding you to do.
Yeah, I just got chills. Oh, I love that.
Oh,
love it. Just, I'm like, oh, I got goosebumps. I'm like, yeah, it feels good.
And it's like in your work, you know, Pisces North Node and the work you're doing, it's like something I often think about is like by showing up and doing what you love, you know, you're uplifting the world. Like by you expressing your heart or making something or connecting with people, it's like you're like up-leveling the collective. You're increasing like this energy, and it's so infectious and it's so contagious. And it's like, can you imagine if everyone did that? If everyone found the thing that they loved and they just did it and they felt, you know, they, you know, made goals. Yeah. Make, I love goal setting, but like making goals that are like from the heart and like are stemming from like this place of like pure love and passion. Like if everyone did that and we listen to our values and we listen to our inner voice, can you imagine what this world would look like? Like, it's kind of like that. Wow. Like it would be magical, you know? And so, and it all starts by just like slowing down and listening to yourself and getting clear on like who you are and what do you want and what are your values, you know? But it's magical. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Helena. So we're coming up on our last 5 minutes of our interview. Loved everything you had to say. And thank you. Yes, it definitely is, you know, part of my gosh, part of the work is you just being you. I was like, okay, thanks. You know, part of my work is about service. I would love for you to shamelessly plug any programs, classes, services, anything you want to share about your business. How clients can find you and
Yeah. So I make YouTube videos for fun. It's like my creative heart-led project. So if you want to watch my videos, I make some meditations. I make some more slow living, beautiful videos to kind of help calm people, but also sharing my life to inspire others. And then I just came out with a book called Slow Living. And it's really gorgeously printed with all my photographs from around the world and my travels as I lived abroad. Beautiful coffee table book, and it's all about slow living and how to practically live slow and like different tangible ways to connect with yourself, find your values, live your values, embody them, and simplify your life so that you can eliminate distractions and like live a heart-centered life and romanticize your life and find the simple blessings and the joys in life. Like, it's all practical like advice that I've kind of compiled from my 5-year journey of living slow. And I just put it in this book. And and then if anyone wanted to book a reading with me, I do astrocartography readings on my website at helenawoods.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Anybody who's looking to relocate, move, is this, you know, beyond, do they have good schools? I'm like, if there's more important questions, if they have good schools.
Yeah.
You know your lines.
Yeah.
You can harness in this, in your relocation. I love the practicality. My Virgo stuff knows, like, I'm all about practical.
I know. And like when people book readings with me, they're like, you know, I want to make sure I'm getting like some tangible, you know, places that like to go to. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. I'm going to give you like 3 to 4 options. You choose where you want to go, but I'm going to tell you the pros and cons of each. And then you make your decision, you know?
Yeah. You gave me a ton. I was like, wow.
Yeah. 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 I'm in the middle of creating an astrocartography course, locational astrology. We're teaching people how to read relocated charts and maps. And that'll be coming out May 20th will be the first day of class. So if anyone wanted to take the class, you can find that at helenawoods.com as well.
Awesome. Oh, and where do we find your slow living book?
Oh yeah. It's on Amazon.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool.
It's on Amazon, but you can also find it at helenawoods.com/book, and I have all the links there.
Okay, amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you, Helena. Any, before we close, any last thoughts that you want to share or your words of advice to any listeners, any wisdom, go for it.
Your life can completely change dramatically in a year, in 6 months, in 3 months, and it can completely change for the better. Like living your dream lifestyle, your dream life, slowing down, feeling peace, all of that can happen very quickly when you live in alignment with those little nuggets of wisdom that your inner voice is telling you to do. And it just takes that leap of faith and that trust and the uncertainty and the unknown of like just going for it and just following your heart. And it's scary to do in the moment, but just breathe, breathe, exhale, and just begin. But it's magical, you know, it's magical how the universe is always supporting you. The universe wants you to live your most authentic self. Like it wants you to live true to your natal promise and your, and who you are on a deep level. And it's just a matter of listening to those little nuggets of wisdom.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. And I love all the connections you've made inside of this interview. And people can find you at HelenaWoods.com.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then my YouTube is Helena Woods.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you, Helena. It was wonderful to have you here on News for the Soul Radio and here at The Call Within. It was a pleasure. And I feel like the energy from like, I'm like, yeah, the energy you bring, I was feeling it this morning. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to like sip my coffee really slow. And I was like, I don't know what we're going to talk about today, but it's such a self.
Yeah. Alignment before action, getting into a feel good place before taking that action. Yeah.
Amen.
I said every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, it was wonderful to have you, and thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you.